This is the third week that we've been considering the subject, glorifying God. Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Isaiah 6, verse 3, "The seraphims declared the earth is full of his glory." Isaiah 42, verse 8, "The Lord himself said, my glory will I not give to another." Last week I clustered these thoughts, these verses together in the beginning of the message. Psalms 18, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." A couple weeks ago, we were looking at Sunday being the Lord's Day, not our day, the Lord's Day. So this day is supposed to be all about his honor, all about his being glorified. Ephesians 3, verse 21 says, "Unto God be glory in the church." The church exists to bring glory to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God." So glorifying God is an important subject. It's why we come together. We're wasting our time, we're spinning our wheels if man's getting the emphasis, or man's getting the glory, or man's being honored. We're wasting our time if we're not doing everything we do to the glory of God. We should evaluate ourselves frequently as to whether or not we're doing all that we do from day to day, week to week, for the glory of God. I was studying and looking at that word glory. The thought of glorifying. And it carries the thought of making weighty. Making weighty, or adding, if you would, weight. And we know and we see frequently, and we saw last week, that we can't add anything to God. So if glorifying him means making him more weighty, it's not adding to him, but it has more to do with us. God needs to be weighty. We need to make God weighty. We need to esteem God. We need to glorify God. We need to lift God up. We should be consumed with the thoughts of God. God should be awesome. God should be weighty in our estimate and weighty in our esteem. The definition I gave you back when I first started was this: to glorify God is to honor him with praise or worship. God is glorious. He is great and magnificent. He is exceptionally grand in his nature and deeds. Full of splendor and majesty are his works, according to Psalms 111. When we glorify him, we acknowledge his greatness and splendor and laud him for it. When we give him glory, as all the world is told to do in Revelation 14, we direct our praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and worship to him who alone is worthy. We're gathered here to glorify him. First song we sung, first verse we sang, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore," and adore the Lord, our King. We're gathered here, but we're gathered here for a purpose. We're gathered here for a reason. That's to adore the Lord, our God. We are gathered here to glorify our Lord, to glorify our God. We looked in the first message, why glorify God? three answers were given. Because he is truly glorious, because glory originates with him and must return, and because he commissions us to glorify him, and that for our own good. Last week, we considered that statement from one of the confessions of faith. We considered the words that a commentator said about those statements. And I just want to read one sentence from that commentator's words concerning the statement of faith concerning the glory of God. The man said, "Man cannot give anything to God." We need to get that today. Man cannot give anything to God, but is only a vessel through which God glorifies himself. We can't give anything to God. We're just a vessel that God can use, that God can work through to give himself glory. And the 3 points we had last week in the message was, we are nothing. We are nothing and can add nothing to God. Second thought last week, we are nothing and God must give the increase. If there's going to be an increase, there's going to be a positive result. We are nothing. And God alone is God. We're gathered here to glorify God because he is truly glorious. Glory originates with him and must return. He commissions us to glorify him for our own good. We must worship him and understand that it is he who works through us in order to glorify him. We are nothing and can add nothing to God. We are nothing and God must be the one who gives the increase. We are nothing and God alone is God. And I think every week we've commented on the fact that the chief end of man is to glorify God. The chief purpose for which we exist is to glorify God. God did not create us for our own benefit. God created us that we might glorify him. Our chief purpose, our chief reason for living, for existing, is to glorify the Father. And we have noticed how that the chief end of even God himself is his own glory. The chief purpose for which God does all that he does is that he might be glorified, that he might be lifted up. And the Lord brought this thought to my mind, as surely we already knew, but didn't get it jotted down in our notes and in our thoughts. Not only is the chief end of man the glory of God, not only is the chief end of God the glory of God, but the chief end of Jesus Christ is the glory of God. The reason Jesus Christ came, the reason Jesus Christ did all that he did, was to glorify the Father. He always did that which glorified the Father. The chief purpose for Christ's time upon this earth was to do the will of the Father, and to glorify the Father. And that is seen in John 13:31, John 14:13, John 17:4. He always sought to glorify the Father. So that reinforces everything we've looked at so far in these messages. If the chief end of Christ was to glorify the Father, our chief end, our chief mission and purpose must be to glorify God. Because we're what they call Christians. We're what they call Christ-like. And so if Christ's chief end was to glorify God, surely that should be our chief end. Now there's three thoughts we want to consider this morning on this subject of glorifying God. First of all, we who are saved, we who are His people, we believe in Christ to the glory of God. When He saved our souls, He brought us to repentance and faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believed in Christ and we were saved by the grace of God. And we believe in Christ to the glory of the Father. My salvation brings honor and glory not to me, not to any man, not to some preacher, but to God. It is God who chose me. It is God who sent Christ. It is God who called me. It is God who saved me. It is God who has born me again. It is God who has granted me all that is a part of my being a child of God and my looking forward to an eternity in heaven. And we believe in Christ to the glory of the Father. Look at Philippians chapter 2. May look like I'm taking this a little out of context. I don't think I am. But in Philippians chapter 2, speaking concerning Christ, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, speaking about Christ, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So God has highly exalted Jesus, given him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Notice verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ did all of this. God did all of this through Christ. So that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think that's talking about saved people. That's talking about lost people. That's talking about those who will confess it in this life and be saved. And it's talking about those who will one day, having rejected Christ, will have to acknowledge Christ is Lord. All, everyone you want to consider, will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it was to the glory of God, for the glory of God. And eventually everybody is going to confess Him as Lord, and it'll be to God's glory. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 10 and 11, 1 Peter 5. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, To him, to God, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's the design for which man exists. That's the design in which God himself seeks. That's the design that Jesus Christ himself sought, was to bring glory, to glorify God forever and ever and ever. And as the eternal ages are ushered in, and those who are forever going to be sentenced to hell are in their place, and those who are forever going to be with the Lord are in their place, and Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father again, it is all so that God would receive glory and glory forever and ever and ever. The ultimate end is the glory of God. And all things are working out for the glory of God. We believe in Christ to the glory of the Father. Second point this morning. We declare his glory in our worship. We believe in Christ to the glory of the Father. Now that we're saved, we declare the glory of God in our worship. In our worship. 1 Timothy, just one little verse here, says a lot. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's back up to verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Notice the 17th verse now. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, now unto the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Can God's people say amen to something? Can they say amen to that statement? It tells us very plainly that God is to be glorified and honored forever and ever. And when you get right down to it, the Lord didn't save us, and the Lord's not taking us to heaven to spend all of our time in eternity trying to catch the big one. The Lord has saved us and sent Jesus Christ to die upon the cross for us that we might worship him. And we're going to spend all of eternity worshiping God, bringing glory to God forever and ever and ever. And God's people ought to be able to muster up an amen. Amen. Forever and ever we're going to worship God. And while we're worshiping here, and while we're worshiping on this place, this earth, we declare the glory of God in our worship, or else we're not worshiping. We declare the glory of God in our worship, or we not worship. I love that first song. probably getting the idea. I love them all. But I could really muster up a list of songs that might be the top 100. But I love that first song. Brethren, why have we met here? Sisters, why are we here? What's the purpose? If we're going to critique and judge what happens here and what we do here and go away saying, well, I didn't get nothing out of that. Well, let's ask ourselves, well, why did we come together to begin with? Why are we here? Are we here to be entertained? Are we here to have our ears tickled? Are we here to be physically satisfied? Are we here for our benefit? No, we're not here for our benefit. We're here to worship God. And in our worship, to glorify Him as God. To make Him weighty. To make Him awesome. To make Him mighty. To make Him great. In all that we think about our salvation, all that we think about Christ and the role of our salvation, it's all about the glory of God. We have gathered to worship and adore the Lord our God. We are gathered to worship. In John chapter 4, we won't turn there. I think we quoted it or at least read it last week. That God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And with such individuals, with such worshipers who are worshiping in spirit and in truth and exalting God and glorifying God, with such worshipers, God is well pleased. He's seeking true worship. He's seeking believers who will really worship Him in spirit and in truth, who will make it the chief end of their worship, to glorify God. Let us come to the house of the Lord seeking to glorify Him. Let us go home questioning whether or not mission was accomplished. Let us come with the emphasis being upon our Almighty God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us leave asking ourselves, was God glorified? Was God exalted? Because if not, we're not worshiping. Because we declare His glory in our worship. Third point this morning. We believe in Christ to the glory of the Father. That's our salvation. We declare His glory in our worship. And our grateful obedience flows from us to His glory. Our obedience, and all that we do, and all that we obey, and all that we submit to, our grateful obedience flows from us not to exalt ourselves, but to His glory. But to His glory. I had this thought in my mind. I'll try not to get into it. Seems like all God's people can do is sit around and think. Sit around and think. Sit around and think about something we need to do. To which I say, God has not called us to think. God has not called us to come up with something to do. God has called us to do that which He already tells us in His Word. We don't have to think about it. We don't get paid to think. We get paid to do. We don't need to find something to do. He's given us plenty to do. And by our doing and our submission and our obedience, these things flow from us to His glory. We can waste away the hours and waste away the days and waste away the weeks, the months, and the years looking for something to do when we ought to be doing that which he's called us to do and that he's glorified in. 1 Peter, again, chapter 4 this time. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch and pray. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man hath received the gift, so let them minister the same one to another. Let us be doing that which he's called us to do, which he's blessed us with the gifts to do. Let us be good stewards of this manifold grace of God. Verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And another amen is found in the Word of God. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are gathered here to glorify God. We will leave here with the purpose and the mission of glorifying God. We will live every minute, we will live every hour, we will live every day, we will live every week between the times that we're gathered here to glorify God. We will live, supposedly, with the mission of glorifying God. Whatever we do in word or deed, rather it be here when we're gathered together as one body in Christ, or when we depart here and we go to our homes and we go to our families and we go to our lives and we go to our little corners of the world. Rather it's here gathered together or in our day-to-day lives, we're to do all that we do to the glory of God. And that's the acid test. Is God glorified in this? Is God glorified in my doing that? Is God glorified with me going here? Is God the focus? Is God the emphasis? Am I making God weighty in my choices, my decisions, and in my obediences? Glorifying God does not mean obeying him because we have to. Glorifying God is our obeying him because we want to. Because we're attracted to him as our God. Because we delight in him. What is the chief end of man? What is the chief reason you exist? Well, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. Doesn't matter. Your chief purpose, your chief reason for existence, the reason God put you on this planet, was to glorify him. And you will one day give an account, if you don't ever glorify him by receiving his son, you will one day give an account for him for not meeting that chief end. If you're here and you're lost, what you need to do is see yourself a sinner, repent, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to the glory of God, so that you might fulfill that reason why you exist. But the glory and the glorifying of God is the chief end of man. It is the chief end, as we see to Christ and how that he indeed lived. And it is the chief end of a sovereign, holy, perfect, righteous God that he receives glory in all things. And God is not frustrated. God is not worried. God is not anxious. In the end, it's all going to wrap up according to his plan and his purpose. And in the end, as we go off into eternity, God is going to be glorified in everything. Let's stand together.